Cue that fancy intro music. It's time to unleash your star power and own your dreams without selling your soul. It's time for some creative freedom. I'm Lisa Robin Young, and I'm a creative entrepreneur just like you. I'm also a business coach, helping people across the creative spectrum make great money doing what they love. If you're done with being the world's best kept secret and ready to shine like the star you are, creative freedom is for you. Let's get started. Ever been on a bad date? I mean, a really bad date. One that was so bad you felt the urge to write a song about it? Have you ever been the subject of a song about a really bad date? I've kissed a few frogs in my day, but none of them warranted the kind of song that Nile Rodgers wrote back in 1981. I actually dated a guy whose breath should have been illegal, but that's a whole other story. Nile was part of the famous music group Chic, or depending on where you're from or what member of my family you are, you might have called it Chick back in the day. Anyways, he went out with a woman, and at some point in the evening, she started expecting him to use his celebrity status for her benefit. I imagine her demanding him to tell the waiter, "Do you know who I am?" and expecting front-of-the-line service everywhere that they went. Well, the nerve. This young lady may well be the first person to ever be canceled. Seriously. You may not know her name, but that date was so bad that Niles went home and wrote the song, "Your Love is Canceled." He equated cancellation to the way television shows are canceled. They're just gone, never to be seen or heard from again. Boy, if we'd had all the streaming services we do today, that might not have been as potent a put down, but it was pretty permanent back in the early 80s. It inspired a screenwriter, one Barry Michael Cooper, to use the term in his rewrite of the screenplay for New Jack City, where he tells one of his henchmen to cancel his girlfriend, he'll just buy himself a new one. Now, gangster cancel is a little different, but the phrase grew in popularity from there inside Black culture during the 1990s and eventually made more mainstream around 2015 thanks to a reality show on VH1. And then the rise of social media, where Twitter users started using the term like some kind of a meme. Boycotting and public shaming have been around for a very long time, but thanks in large part to the rise of social media, cancel culture has become a popular tool to villainize celebrity types, even folks that are only famous in their industry. And cancel culture vultures are at the heart of that. What originally began as a somewhat misogynistic reference evolved into a way to hold people accountable for their misconduct and then into the social media world. Cancel culture began as an extension of the call-out culture, but it quickly turned ugly. Harvard professor Pippa Norris said, quote, "The controversies surrounding cancel culture are between the ones who argue that it gives voice to those in marginalized communities, while the opposing side argues cancel culture is dangerous because it prevents free speech and or the opportunity for open debate." Now, I wanted to give you a smattering of history today, but it's not the culture that we're exploring here. Rather, the vultures, the folks who have twisted this concept into something awful. In this episode, we're going to take a closer look at what cancel culture vultures are and how to protect yourself from their wrath, if that's even possible. They're vigilant about all the wrong things. They care more about being right than calling in for accountability. And while they're a prevalent part of society at the moment, if you spend too much time worrying about them, it will stall your growth. Now, this is a much shorter episode than we usually do. That's because we've got a big one coming up next time. I'll tell you more about that as we get on with things. Now, there's a difference between calling out, calling in, and canceling someone. And I think it's important to lay this groundwork because that sets the stage for why vultures have become so harmful. The major differences are in intent and accountability. Now, I still believe that most people can be redeemed if they want to be, and some folks don't want to be. Call it my Pollyanna worldview if you like, but most folks don't realize the harm that they're causing until it's done. Sometimes long after it's done. And oftentimes they want to make it right and they worry that they'll just make things worse so that they do nothing or they defend themselves by centering themselves instead of seeking to understand and correct the issue at hand. Now, this is not a justification. It's an explanation. And I've done it when I didn't know better. And I'm sure there'll come a time when I'll do it again because I'm human and I don't know everything. But saying I'm human, I make mistakes, and I don't know everything is not a free pass to cause harm, because humans can also learn, adapt, and grow. So it's incumbent upon us to do that work of learning, growing, and adapting so that we don't continue to do harm just because we feel uncomfortable. The discomfort of ignorance is far less damaging than the actual harm that can be caused by misconduct. So there's a difference between calling someone out for wrongdoing, calling them in for greater accountability, and canceling someone outright. Now, it's partly intent-based. What are your intentions around this? But it's also about how public the request for accountability is and the connection to that person. So let's say, for example, I'm in a circle of friends and one of them tells a joke that's hurtful. I can pull them aside and say, hey, that's not cool. Your joke wasn't funny and you need to apologize to Sally. That's calling someone in. That's a private conversation to let someone know their behavior was unacceptable and that they need to be held accountable and make amends for what they've done. And I hope that that's what my friends would do for me. Taking it a step further, you'd also give them tools or resources to stay accountable to the amends that they're making. But that's not necessarily a requirement. Calling out often happens when you have no direct connection or interpersonal connection to someone that you've witnessed behaving in this kind of way. You saw it on social media after Will Smith's infamous slap. There was harm on both sides there. Chris Rock caused harm with an inappropriate joke. Smith took matters into his own hands and caused actual physical harm to Chris Rock. The interwebs were all abuzz with armchair quarterbacks calling out their bad behavior and asking for accountability from the Academy. Folks were calling Will Smith out because they didn't have proximity or a direct relationship like Tyler Perry did, who pulled Smith aside after first checking in on Chris Rock. Perry called Smith in, attempting to de-escalate the situation. But canceling does not ask for accountability. It takes matters into the hands of those calling for the cancellation. It demands a boycott, essentially saying that this person isn't redeemable in any way. We need to vote with our dollars and boycott this person, shut them down, and make it like they were never here, canceled like an old TV program that didn't make it into syndication. Now that, to me, is only warranted in very severe cases. Smith has a new movie out, which begs the question, is he forgiven? Do we negate all the effort of everyone else on that film and boycott it anyway? That's essentially what happened with shows starring Roseanne Arnold and Kevin Spacey. Everybody else got laid off, regardless of how well they were doing their jobs. Canceling someone is a poison pill that can impact far more than the person being canceled. Ask for accountability, and ask for it personally if you have that kind of connection. But I'm of a mind to say, you know, reserve cancellation for the truly worst of humanity. And there are some. But that's the problem with cancel culture vultures. They're basically vigilantes chronically on the lookout for celebrity wrongdoers. They're on a mission to be right, to ruin other people, no matter the cost, because they feel justified in their distress. Now, again, I really want to emphasize, this is not the same thing as calling people out. This is not the same thing as giving marginalized voices an opportunity to explain the harm that is being caused to them. These are the vultures who are out there slamming people, sometimes for what feels like no real good reason. I mean, maybe it's envy. These vultures seem to circle for sometimes the most ridiculous reasons, no matter how far back the issue goes. A Halloween costume from 25 years ago is hardly a reason to cancel someone. Tasteless? Maybe. Inappropriate? Definitely. But are they the same person now as they were then? Highly doubtful. And if they are, then that costume points to a pattern. It's not a reason to cancel someone all by itself. Call out the current behavior that matches that pattern. Because what happens sometimes is a deeper harm. Actress Lillian Gish, in the early days of her career, did a film called Birth of a Nation. It was a job, and it was not indicative of her own beliefs, from what I can tell. She went on to have a long career in the entertainment industry, but because of that one film, 100 years later, The students at Bowling Green State University requested that the theater on campus have both her name and her sister's name removed and changed to something else. And I'll post a link to the story in the show notes. Now, Birth of a Nation venerated the KKK. It was loaded with racist ideals, which, well, it was 1915. I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole. The Gish sisters worked as actors for D.W. Griffith's studio, meaning they did a crap ton of movies and short films, essentially as contract players. It was a job. Some of those films were atrocious. Some of them were actually good. You know, I mean, some of them had blackface and quote unquote good Negroes who only lived to serve, but some of them were remarkably good, like the interracial drama Broken Blossoms or Intolerance. Now, Lillian was about 22 when she did Birth of a Nation. She was 99 when she died and had worked for over 80 years in the industry. Her sister Dorothy wasn't even in that film. The university even acknowledged that Gish herself was not a racist and that there have been plenty of people who surmised that Griffith wasn't particularly political either, the director. He was just making movies that people wanted to see. Now, to me, that says more about the audiences he was creating for than it does about the studio or the actors working there. Again, it was a different time, and I'm not trying to excuse it because it's still really bad behavior. And she was 22 and it was a job. But here we are 100 years later, 2019, and not only does Lillian's name get removed, but so does her sister, a woman who had nothing to do with that complicated movie. And in a flash, that one job in her sister's 20s canceled and negated all the great work of two people. And it could be said, and BGSU did say it, because Lillian herself said it, that actors should take responsibility for the roles they choose. That movie, for all the technological breakthroughs that it made, was harmful to a lot of people, still harmful to a lot of people. And she never distanced herself from that work. She never said that it was awful or acknowledged the harm that it caused. So she does bear some responsibility for that film. Lillian does. But it should also be noted that she said that about taking responsibility in 1983, near the end of her lengthy career when she was in a different position and ability to choose her projects than she was when she was just getting started in her 20s. How many of us have taken whatever job we could get because we needed a job? She also came up in a time where, as much as we don't want to admit this as a nation, those harmful attitudes were the most vocal of the time. They held the most power. And we have to be careful about judging them then based on our current worldview and knowledge. Like I said, this is complicated. And if she'd created a large body of hate-filled work, this would be an easy choice to make. Yes, cancel her. But it's one movie at the early edge of her career, and I'd like to hope that maybe she learned a thing or two in the intervening decades and became a better person for it. In a press release, Bowling Green State University said, quote, "Upon reviewing the totality of Lillian Gish's acting career, no evidence was found that she denounced or distanced herself from director D.W. Griffith or her link from the film Birth of a Nation. Bowling Green State University has a primary responsibility to serve its students, faculty, and staff, and an obligation to create an inclusive learning environment. That obligation outweighs the university's small part in honoring the Gish sisters' legacy." And I agree. The school does have an obligation to their students. But Dorothy had nothing to do with it, and that's where I take umbrage. It is so complicated. And that's why cancellation and the vultures who demand so-called justice can be so problematic and complicated. Instead, I'd rather see a conversation, a memorial, a recognition that we all screw up. I quote my client here. "It's not a question of if we cause harm, we will. What matters is how we clean it up. Canceling someone leaves no room for cleanup or redemption. When you screw up, you need to do what you can to make it right. Give an apology, make corrective measures. You don't get to justify, backpedal, or center your situation. And you still may not make everybody happy, but that's not your job. Your job is to do what you can. If you have lots of resources, you're expected to do more to correct the issues than someone with less." Which begs the question, can you make a comeback from being canceled? Sure, being canceled is essentially a cultural boycott, a decision by fans and haters alike then an individual has done something so heinous they're no longer worthy of attention. And in recent years, it's felt like virtually everybody has been subject to this phenomenon to some degree, due largely in part to these vultures. Taylor Swift, J.K. Rowling's transphobic remarks, Chrissy Teigen's cyberbully past. You know, but part of the redemption comes from reparations. Will Smith came out right away to apologize. Now, that may or may not be enough, depending on who you talk to, but it was a start, and that start makes a difference. Unlike Kevin Spacey, who instead of apologizing, made excuses. That just digs the hole deeper. That's nowhere near enough to begin with, and you've just made it worse. And vultures look for that and prey upon that. And that's what their focus tends to be. But here's the ultimate point. Worrying about vultures is going to stall your growth. Who are you building your business for? Are you building it for raving fans, or are you building it for vultures? Are you building it to win, or are you building it to not lose? You're never going to make everyone happy. That's not your job. Your job's to serve your raving fans, like BGSU's choice to rename that theater. Whether or not I agree with it, they honored what their audience was asking for. Or Smith's fans willing to accept his apology and line up to see his next film. Again, you may not be able to make it right for everyone. You may not agree with what somebody decides to do for reparations. But doing what you can for those you harmed first and foremost is really what matters. And when your raving fans see that, they'll support your comeback. So stay focused on building an excellent body of work. Build relationships and engage with the people who matter. Be kind to others, because again, we can't control the outcome, and you may step on somebody's toe and they may decide it's time to cancel you. So be kind, but maintain your focus where your focus needs to be, on building your body of work and on building those relationships that matter. That's what Lillian Gish did. And when Bowling Green made the announcement of the name change, there were numerous prestigious actors that wrote an open letter asking them to reconsider. But BGSU had a loyalty to their students, not to Hollywood. Your raving fans will often come to your defense if you've built a strong relationship with them. Vultures don't tend to go after unknowns. They're not banging down my door. They don't know who I am. They're not banging down your door. They don't know who you are. So you've got time to grow something meaningful without their gaze, so that by the time you are well-known, you've grown an audience of raving fans that adores you, who can drown out that noise, who can support you and rally you, and yes, call you in when you are behaving badly. Call you out when you are causing harm, and still not have you be canceled because you know what you need to do to respond. So get started. Do that work. Put your head down and create the awesomeness that you're here to create. Stop worrying about cancel culture vultures. I tell you, it's one of the biggest things that I see people coming to me worried about. Oh, well, I'm going to say something and it's all going to come crashing down because somebody's going to call me out and want me to be canceled. What if I make a mistake? Well, you know what? We all make mistakes. And you can do right by them. You don't need to become a target for these vultures. Like I said, this was a short one. Next time we're going to wrap up the season with a longer episode. I've been promising Dr. Michelle Mazur all season. So we're going to release that conversation for you to take into the new year. And we'll be talking about marketing messaging and go behind the scenes with what we've done this year to shift our work to serve a different audience. So be sure that you're subscribed to get notified. Kiss the bell, hit the bell, kiss your mama, whatever. Leave a review. All those things that you need to do so that you know about our upcoming episodes. If you're not subscribed, you're missing out, and I sure hope that we will see you there. And until then, for more inspiration and education to help you unleash your star power and own your dreams without selling your soul, come see what's shaking over at creativefreedomshow.com. You know you want to.